good radio program. It's 503-733-2970. All right, Tim found this. I wasn't really suggesting that nature kill us, though. I'm just saying it's not the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. No, because they very clearly identify themselves. Because the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, when they do a commercial, it's always like a soft-focused thing where it's like a dad fishing in a boat with a small child. And then it's a lot of, you know, like, you know, well, my Jewish friend Timmy says that, and then it's like the dad says, well, you know, the problem, son, is you think of him as your Jewish friend, not just your friend. And then they do like a long pullback on the boat. And then there's like the pleasing, soft, rounded font that comes up and it says, this message brought to you by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And then you send away for Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ has a lot of testaments.
He really does. Did you know that? I'm going to write that down. That's a great bit. I'm going to have Clyde come in and do his whole missionary spiel. Where he comes in, where he knocks at the door. I'll have him do, and we'll have him knock at the door, actually.
Speaking of Clyde, I've still got to tell you about last night.
Oh,
it's
God.
Just a really brief story.
But it's not going to be brief, because it's going to turn into a whole thing. I just know it is. I just know it is. So let's do the contest, then we'll talk about Clyde last night, and then we'll have Tim Riley. All right, Scotty, what am I doing here? Am I bringing on these two guys? All right, Scotty, just...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
Thank you so much.
All right, so Scotty J... What are you shaking your head at?
Connie Chung is still horrible to this day.
It is horribly great. All right, so what do we got? We got these two guys here?
Yes, and they've both been tested, so...
And so this is... so shooting a porn film. So what is the... So how did you test them for pop culture knowledge?
Read them a couple of quick, you know, what Sarah considers easier
and
questions.
So what is the deal?
And they
we're
just
gonna,
nailed them both.
We're going to bring them on, we will quiz them, and then the winner will get the Al Gore tickets.
Okay.
That's exactly what
we're
going to do.
With all those people that had temperature guesses.
I'm going to invalidate that whole contest. Because
kind of like Foley.
Because the air conditioner is now working again. And so...
I think that's unfair. People should
too.
Still be able to
Same
guess.
Same with the Foley thing. We have real
Well, we won't
out
give
there.
Them Al Gore tickets. We'll give them an onion book.
Yeah.
That's a lesser contest to me now at this point because the air conditioner is working again. So we'll give them an onion book. Those are all... We'll figure that out. But we'll do this for Al Gore tickets. Because this is really the more impressive contest at this point.
Okay.
All right. So this is Dallas.
Yep.
Hello, Dallas. Hold on a second. And Joe...
Yep.
All right, Dallas and Joe here. So how are we going to do this? Like best of what? Best of five?
That's what I think.
All right, yeah. Sarah. All right, so here's the thing. Dallas, Joe, what we're going to do is we are going to administer this test to you. We will, Sarah, that is to say, we'll read a pop culture question to you. These created by Aaron?
Yes.
Aaron Geek in the City created this list of questions. If you know the answer, you say your name, so you buzz in by saying your own name. So Dallas, if you know the answer, you say Dallas. Joe, if you know the answer, you say Joe. We will throw it to you. You give it. Now, of course, if you screw it up, and the other guy gets it right, he gets an extra half a point. That's how we're going to do it.
Ooh.
So I will keep. So Sarah, you ask the questions. I will keep. I will keep the score over here. So Dallas, Joe. So if you buzz in and get it wrong, and then the other person gets it right, they get an extra half a point. Are you clear on this?
Yep.
All right, and this is for a pair of tickets to see Al Gore's boringly named global warming presentation at the Rose Garden. All right, Sarah Dillon, question the first.
All right, it's a Star Trek question. Most fans know that William Shatner was not the first choice to play Captain Kirk, but the third. Who was first and second choice to play Captain Kirk, respectively?
No one knows this.
Yeah, no idea.
Aaron's just too good.
Yeah, no one knows
okay.
that. Not even I know that.
Of course he does. Aaron is the master.
Ernest Borgnine?
No.
he's always my go-to.
Dick York.
No.
Dick York. All right.
Wait.
All right, let's try. Okay, next question.
In the legendary deleted scene, name the song that is playing when the octopus swallows the Walkman in The Goonies. I knew this one.
Read it again.
It's actually not a Walkman. He swallows
outtake.
A boombox.
Yeah.
Okay, in the legendary deleted scene, name the song that is playing when the octopus swallows the boombox in The Goonies.
Any idea, Dolph?
No.
Okay, we're on the opposite end of the spectrum now where no one is going to get any of these. Why are we so bad at this? Why can't we
they
just
were
do a contest?
The there. Why don't you try a couple
All right,
of
I'll, go, I'll
yeah.
do the easy one.
We'll go back.
Oh, yeah,
easy
just
one.
Want someone to set me on fire.
Okay.
All right.
What does the word karaoke mean in Japanese?
No one knows that.
They don't know that.
Oh, yes, they do.
Joe.
Joe.
How did I know that?
Why did you buzz in?
Because I know it, but I can't think of it. It means, like...
Well, let's see if he gets it.
Like, I don't know. I don't know how you...
Why don't you just say what you were going to say?
Well, I can't think of it. I just know I know it.
I know those days. I have those kind of days every day.
Okay, let's do another one. The word nerd was first coined by whom?
I'm going to go home.
Do you know the answers to these?
No.
Okay.
No one knows
That's
the answers
why you're getting all
these.
Freaked out.
No one knows the answers
yes,
to
they do.
These.
They knew these
You
answers
keep talking. Maybe they do.
Okay, Dallas, Joe, do either of you know the answer to this?
No, no. I don't want the answer to karaoke.
Oh, you
no,
do?
No, it's too late.
No, wait, we haven't said the answer yet.
It doesn't. We've moved on to that. You can't be answering it now.
Tell it. I just want you to say, tell me the answer so it doesn't bug me all day.
Okay, the word karaoke means empty orchestra.
Okay.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
I did.
Okay.
I knew that.
We're now on the sixth question. No one has answered anything yet.
This is an easier one. Okay.
For love of...
What Beatles song lasted the longest on the charts at 19 weeks?
Hey, Jude.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
Who was that?
Joe.
Hey, okay,
Joe.
Yeah, you got to remember to buzz in. Okay, we'll give you a point for the love of God.
Okay.
Sweet zombie Jesus. All right, you got a point, finally.
All right, who's the first rock star to be arrested on stage?
Joe.
Yeah?
Jim Morrison.
Yes.
Nice.
Oh, okay, finally, traction. All right. Well, we'll do like four more.
If he gets one, though, he wins.
Yeah, but nobody's... But the first five, nobody knew.
Okay.
We'll do four more.
In the Blues Brothers, what does Jake order at the diner?
Joe?
Yeah?
Is it two whole fried chickens and a Coke?
It's four fried chickens and a Coke. No. All right, okay.
That was really
all right.
Close enough.
I didn't get a chance to answer that one.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's me. Did you know it?
I just watched that movie yesterday. I was thinking of the answer.
Did you? But would you have known it? This whole contest is just a big abortion.
You were like stepping on everybody today.
It's not just me. All right, let's get three more.
I'm just fine. Hey, what year was Diet Coke invented? Just take a guess.
Dallas. 1982.
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
That's amazing. Okay, that's unbelievable that you got that right. Okay, two more. Dallas, if you get these two right, you got it in the bag here. If you get these next two.
I'm out of questions.
Really?
That's
all right, so we'll go to the Trivia Pursuit Pop Culture.
Thank you, Scotty.
We're just going to take this whole thing out in post. All right, let's do two more here.
What auto event held in February marks the beginning of the NASCAR Winston Cup season?
Joe?
Daytona 500. That's correct.
Wow. Joe, you have actually won, but let's do the next one. Let's do the last one just to see how it all shakes out here. It's final question.
What punk legend recorded the theme song to the 1984 movie Repo Man?
Rick.
Scotty.
Isn't it? Did Iggy Pop?
Yes, but you're not supposed to guess.
It doesn't matter. Dallas can't win. And I need to get on the boat. Rick Emerson has to establish his cred somehow. All right. There you go. Joe, Dallas,
worst contest ever.
Joe, you scored yourself a pair of tickets to the Al Gore Global Warming presentation. Dallas, don't think of this as a loss of face. Think of it, really, we're all losers today, Dallas. All right, I'm going to put Dallas, we're going to let you go, and Joe, I'm going to put you on hold, all right?
All right.
All right, thank you, Dallas, and Joe, you are now on hold. All right. Good God. I feel as if someone is just like a sponge that someone has just wrung out. All right. It's 15 after here. All right. What is this? An email. Subject line. Her charred head in a pot on the stove. Well, clearly I'm not going to have time to get to that because that's going to prompt the whole thing. Should we break?
Yes, please.
Let's break. We'll come back. We'll do headlines with Tim Riley. And then we got to talk about Clyde Lewis.
And Jen Lane's on her way, too.
All right. So we'll talk about Clyde Lewis. We'll talk about little Jen Lane. We come back. Leica's coming up. Don't forget, Leica's going to be at Barracuda November 3rd, Friday. Leica's doing his show live on stage from Barracuda November 3rd, Friday. You don't want to miss that. So we've had some people asking us about that. So we'll be talking more about that as we get closer to it. It is 2 weeks from this Friday. More on the way. Stay right there. Here's Freddie Mercury. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Distracted by hump night at McFadden's.
I'm not even going to bother writing that one down.
That does sound like a delightful evening.
I made everyone else smell my hand. All right.
He's playing at the Greek Cucina tonight. You should come and can smell him.
Who? Oh, the guy, the big black man.
Yes.
Let's all go smell a big black man. A big, beautiful black man.
He was quite handsome.
He is a Nubian god. I don't even know what a Nubian is. Not to be all Jason Lee about it.
Maybe it's some kind of slur, like when we were saying squaw that one day. We didn't know what we were saying.
No, that's a pigeon. No, that's squab. No, he's in a thing.
The goat with a horn hanging out of its forehead.
A Nubian? No, that's a... What's a goat with a horn hanging... Okay, that doesn't make any sense at all. What
that's
is
what
it?
I was thinking of.
Well,
it's not necessarily right.
A goat with a horn hanging out of its head. You were thinking of that for what word?
An Anubian.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley of the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Sorry.
Seahawks Stadium is named in a dirty bomb threat. Never let them forget they need us, says the Homeland Security Department. They say they doubt it's legitimate, but want to scare everyone to death anyway, because they've notified the NFL of a threat against football stadiums. The internet message claims radiological dirty bombs will be detonated this weekend in 7 stadiums. Make sure you're there. In New York, Seattle, Atlanta, Seattle again.
I'm sorry, where? They're blowing up things where?
At stadiums. In New York, Miami, Seattle, Atlanta, Houston, Oakland, and Cleveland. Who would notice Cleveland?
Seahawks weren't going to win anything anyway.
Each is hosting a game this weekend. The Homeland Security spokesman says officials view the threat as with strong skepticism.
Is this sort of like Bat Night, except it's radiological bomb night?
They say the alert is issued only out of an abundance of caution.
Bring the kids.
And that you should go about your plan.
Except for the fact that there's radiological dirty bombs blowing up all around you. Rick says this email. This is Todd the Corpse. I can't decide which is... this subject line is worst contest ever. I can't decide which is worse. A trivia contest where nobody knows any of the answers, like the one that just happened, or a contest where everybody, those in studio and in the audience, knows the answers, except for those actually playing the game. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Now watch, you'll try it every other market that CBS has a station in.
They're
all listening right now.
God.
Millions and millions of television shows are being streamed over the net by broadcast networks over the past month, with Heroes and Jericho emerging as favorites among people who watch TV on their computers.
By the way, let me just say this. If you watch television on your computer, you are not allowed to say that you don't watch TV. Lara has this friend, a hippie trippy friend of hers, and he's one of those guys, he gets on that self-righteous kick about, I don't have a television, I don't watch TV. And I go, well, why? I said, well, how is it that you know so much about whatever show it was? He was talking about the Deadwood or something. I'm like, well, how do you know so much about Deadwood if you don't have a TV? Oh, I watch it all on my computer. If you watch television shows on your computer is a television. Quit trying to pretend like you're better than the rest of us.
Now, the new NBC Rewind feature streamed more than 2 million videos during its first week up. Then CBS has made several shows available on its InnerTube website, including all 3 of the CSI editions, Survivor and sitcoms, How I Met Your Mother, and the new Adventures
There's
of Old
There's a CSI 15. Sitcom?
No, CSI, and
CSI
sitcoms.
Kalamazoo.
I'm sorry. CSI and sitcoms.
That's where they're all really hilarious.
Well, they might as well be.
That's where everybody just, it's where everybody was just, like everybody's been bludgeoned to death with a clown-shaped dildo.
And Vanishing Americana, television theme songs are fading fast. Back in the day, even into the 90s, shows usually had a main title, 40 or 60-second opening montage, including the cast, often set to music written by a composer, but now... Thanks to the elimination of commercials between the end of one show and the beginning of another, shows overlap before fickle viewers have the chance to channel surf onto another network.
The last really popular and prominent television theme song was, go.
Hmm.
I would say Friends. I would say that's the last show.
Oh, I would, yep.
That's the last show I can think of that has a theme song that everybody kind of knows. I mean, other shows have music, but I mean, that's it. That was the last show to have a theme song that was really a... And that was the last show, probably the last show ever, to have a song that was itself a hit on the charts.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be... That's what this show needs. This show really needs like a wacky, upbeat theme song at the beginning where they introduce all the characters and where we turn and look at the camera freeze frame style and it's just like, Sarah, you know? And then a guy is like singing a thing. All right. Let's do one more and then... You know, and then I'll take these Pueblo, Colorado calls, and then we'll talk about Clyde. All right, here's one more with Tim Riley.
Dancing with the Stars, a CBS hit that is the highest-rated reality show on television this fall.
I have never in my life seen an episode of Dancing with the Stars. All I know is that Tucker Carlson danced on it. That's it. That's all I know.
Yeah, I read that, too.
Tucker Carlson in his boat. It was Mrs. Carlson. Was his 100-year-old wife there with him, too? One big wrinkle, that woman. All right.
I'm not sure if that's a real marriage. Anyway... The ABC hit series...
What are you implying, Tim?
Nothing. He is a Republican, and...
He wears a bow tie.
He does.
He does seem very spry.
They do seem to be a mismatched couple.
She does seem to be... And she does seem to be rather mannish looking in many ways. And he does dance well.
So anyway, I guess he appeared there. Sarah Evans, a country music star, has dropped out after filing for divorce from her husband of 13 years.
I didn't think you were allowed to divorce if you were a country star.
What does that have to do with the show?
Everyone on that show, it breaks up so many relationships.
Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah. Yeah, because people will get way too cozy with their little dancing buddies. I mean, last year there were, I think, two people left their wives and husbands, respectively. And then this year... Shanna Mokler just got her divorce, and she's all doing whatever on Dancing with the Stars.
Who knew that Dancing with the Stars would cause such matrimonial strife everywhere? Well, go figure. You learn something. Knowing is half the battle, kids.
Mm-hmm.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Tim Riley. All right, thank you. Best newsman ever.
I don't know what this is, but I'll leave it here.
All right. That's kind of the whole motto of the show today. Okay, let's get these...
Scotty... I don't even want to.
Let's get these calls about Pueblo, Colorado. Let's see. Pat. Hello, sir.
Hi.
Hi.
You were wondering about what it is out of Pueblo, and that is the...
There's a lot of things in Pueblo, but there was a specific television commercial that used to run, and there was a woman, it was a Western, like, sepia-tone-themed commercial, and at the end, the woman would say, write to catalog, Pueblo, Colorado, 80019.
It's for the consumer information tonight.
I'm almost sure. The only thing I ever saw about for Pueblo is the federal government's office of printing, and it was sort of a, you could write there to get these pamphlets and so forth, sort of a written version of that insidious thing that's on now with all the PSAs, the ad council.
Well, okay, what Pueblo as a city, what the entire city, their whole economy was based on sending catalogs to people in the country. Jen Lane, though, I believe has the specific answer we're looking for.
I believe it's a consumer information catalog.
I'm hoping that Aaron Sorkin would pass you through town one day and hear that opening sequence to your segment every week. All right, thank you, Pat.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
I hope that if Aaron Sorkin was passing through town that we'd be holed up in a hotel room with a bag of rock and mushrooms.
I'm going to have this thing created that just says the Rick Emerson Show does not advocate it. You know, here, let me just tell you this, though. I'm going to be in the same room as Aaron Sorkin.
What?
Early next year.
What?
His new play is premiering in La Jolla. And I can't even take credit. Lara, it was like Lara did it like 12:01, you know, at 1 second. She was there online getting ready to buy tickets because his new play, which is called The Farnsworth Invention, which is about Philo T. Farnsworth, who invented television. And not invented it like Milton Berle, like invented the television in a barn in Utah. He is a huge hero, or Sorkin is fascinated with him anyway. But anyway, so the new Aaron Sorkin play, The Farnsworth Invention, debuts February in La Jolla, and we got online, Lara got online really early and scored opening night tickets, and he will be there opening night. That's the thing about it. I don't think he's not doing I'm not going to get to meet him or anything like that, because he doesn't really, I don't think he'd do
that. Maybe if
place.
You bring the right stuff, you can meet him.
Seriously, if I can satisfy part
Aaron,
of his...
Hey, Aaron, want to go to the bathroom?
If I can satisfy part of his writer. But in February, I will be in the same building, in the same room as Aaron Sorkin. It's... I don't think I could meet him, though, because I think the universe might just end. It might be one of those things where, like, Linda Lavin meets her twin double on Alice, and everything just kind of goes, and then the universe reduces itself to a singularity. So, yeah, so that's very cool. So in February, you're going to hear me getting all giddy about that, that I will be in the same room as Aaron Sorkin early next year. It's very cool. Yeah, I'm a total nerd for that guy. So
do I get to tell you my story about Clyde yet?
Oh, we have to. Jen Lane is, and this is appropriate. This is totally appropriate because it happened. And so I get this call from Sarah last night. My phone rings and I answer it. And phone calls from you are always either really good or really bad late at night. And I get this phone call and she's like, remind me to tell you the best story ever about Clyde tomorrow. And I'm, really? Just remind me. And I said, okay. And so there you go. And you have been bursting with excitement.
Yes.
About this Clyde story.
Well, it was just really funny. And he was really embarrassed about it. And as soon as someone says, don't use this on the show tomorrow, I'm like, oh, ho, ho.
Oh, yeah, no. As soon as, you can never talk about this on the air. And then in your head, you're like flagging. Oh, totally. Must discuss.
Well, last night, as I was talking about before, we went to Cibolas because they were filming Wife Swap. They're filming something from that last night because one of the wives is in a band. And in the band, there was, there are a couple, like, older gentlemen. And then there was, like, this nice young lady who Clyde just started to...
What does she do in the band?
She was playing
keyboards,
bass, I believe.
Oh, okay.
No. Really cute girl. Clyde was babbling about her the entire time during the show. He's like, oh, that girl's hot. We should go talk to her after the show, say how good we are. He's like, say how good she was.
So he
wants... No, he said, yeah, he grabbed me and he's like, I'm not going to go by myself.
Oh, well, you know why that is.
Yeah. Why?
That's because if you go talk to a girl by yourself, you look like a loser. You get another girl to go with you, and it's an automatic endorsement of your sexual prowess.
Oh.
Well, that's what it is. That's totally what it is. It's like the... you know what it is. It's like a little stamp on it that says USDA inspected. If a girl sees a guy with, another cute girl...
That's
then
true.
The guy's stock goes up because it's like he's already been, well, clearly this girl finds him hot. Well, there you go. And it makes the guy look more... Totally. He looks more attractive.
Well, yeah, so we were there and we were trying to figure out who was on the show because we couldn't, people were saying, oh, it's the guy guitarist, it's the woman singer. So we were trying to find, like, the not as rock and roll dressed person in the audience. So we saw this woman wearing this, like, khaki sweater and she just looked really out of place. We're like, oh, that must be her. So the girl in the band get off stage. Clyde's grabbing me to go talk to this girl with him.
Now, what does she look like?
She's really skinny, has kind of like a little rocker mullet thing. Really cute girl.
What celebrity would you say she most closely resembles?
She looked like Joan Jett, like a young Joan Jett.
Really?
Yeah, she was really cute.
Joan Jett was very cute in her day, yeah.
She was very cute. So anyway, so we're Clyde grabs me, and we go over to talk to this girl, and Clyde's like, wow, I just want to say how impressed I was with you playing. I really liked your band.
I'm a big fan of your art.
Yeah, so the woman in the khaki sweater walks up to us, and she looks at the girl. She's like, hi, honey, you did a great show. And the girl's like, oh, thanks, Mom. And so I looked at the girl, and I'm like, so have you been playing with this band for long, or do you play her? She's like, no, my mom brought me into town.
So Clyde is hitting on a girl in the band while the mom is right there.
I'm only 16.
Oh!
16-year-old girl that Clyde throughout the entire show is poking me to go talk to. Going over there, hitting on her, clearly hitting on her. And then all of a sudden, and then you see the youth in her face. Oh,
and that's the thing where it all suddenly, that's like at the end of The Usual Suspects, where you, wait a minute, but I...
I thought she was trying to be, like, kind of really cool and not very talkative. She was just nervous. She's 16.
Clyde's like 100.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, and how inappropriately, younger is she for Clyde? Because he always goes after and gets.
He does look
much
young, spry
younger
girl.
Women.
Clyde does appreciate the bloom of youth.
Yeah.
16?
16.
Clyde Lewis is hitting on a 16-year-old. All right.
At least she hit puberty.
I was going to say, maybe she... I suppose that.
And she was a little embarrassed. And she's like, Mom, I'll be able to get home by myself.
Yeah. And the Mark Foley Award goes to. Oh, well, and that's got to be. Okay, now, but was he talking to her for a long period of time?
Not for a long period of time. It was probably for a good, like, minute and a half before the woman in the khaki sweater came, or her mom came over.
So did the mom come over clearly because Clyde was hitting on her?
She looked a little suspicious, and then Clyde started talking about how we had both worked on the
radio.
Program. Exactly.
Oh, did he really do that? Oh.
Yes, he really did. I think he was trying to establish credibility and kept trying to pull me into their conversation. I had a bunch of my friends there. I didn't want to talk to some random girl.
Well, no, but that's totally what it is, though. As I was saying earlier, you are sort of the pheromone. That's totally what it is. It's that you are there to sort of...
Well, yeah, any girl in that situation.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's like, then you are
the broker.
Well, I mean, it's not just that. It's like when you're a guy, it's like you are sort of basking in the reflected glow of the girl that you are with, and it does make you hotter to other girls. It's totally true. So, Clyde, Oh, that's fantastic. So, so had he, I mean, was he leading up to, like, do you want to get a drink?
I think he would have probably asked her out eventually had the, you know, mom not come up.
Boy, if she hadn't been 16. Boy, yeah. Part of me really wishes that the mom hadn't interrupted, because I want to see how that played out. Well, how is it that she was even there, though?
You're allowed to play in the region as long as you're not.
Did they change that?
Well, if you're not in an alcohol service area.
Oh, okay. And if you're
basically while you're on stage, you're allowed to be there. And then when you're not on stage, you have to be in a secured non-alcohol area, like the green room, for instance.
Right.
Yeah, and
right.
She was just in and out of there. It was just for a couple minutes.
Okay. Now, but what do you know? Now, I don't mean to be hideous about this. Now, do you know the name of the band? Have we talked about it?
No. The name. She was playing with the band, The Shiny Things.
See, I'm fighting off the urge to find out what she looks like, though. Because did she look 16?
She's on MySpace.
Yeah, you could totally find her. She did not look 16. However, she said she isn't in that band. She just was filling in for them.
They never do look 16. It's weird.
I would have thought she was my age.
It's tough to be a guy now. It really is. It is difficult, I think, to be a man at this point, because you never know when a woman is of age and when she's not. Because it's, and I don't mean to sound like an old person.
It's always been the case, though.
I don't think that's true.
My grandmother met my grandfather when she was 13, and she lied and said that she was 17, and he was 4 years older than she was. So when he turned 18, he asked her to marry him, you know, when she was 14.
Well, but he knew.
But she had to confess at that point that she had actually lied about her age, and then she was only 14.
Oh, my God.
That makes you just feel weird.
He broke up with her. He was all like, God, I can't take it. And then got back together with her.
You get later.
Too loud.
You should call me in a couple years.
66 years later, they just had their anniversary. And then he died. Yeah. Okay, let's bring it down. Sorry.
Thanks.
You're
right up to the line.
So cool.
No, it is great. I'm just, they had a start, I suppose. I'm not saying that there aren't. Well, look, I just, my mom got married really young, and I don't know. In retrospect, I'm actually unclear about whether my mom had to lie about her age. My mom got married when she was 14, so
well, you can get married in the United States when you're 12, right?
Utah, with parental consent, you can get married if you're 12 or 13 in Utah.
Yeah.
I do think that more women than in the past, though, look more adult than they are. Because I think a lot of that is like makeup. Because a girl who... it's not the amount of makeup either, it's the skill with the makeup.
Yeah.
Skill with makeup is an acquired skill, and it's a thing that takes many years. And so it's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like when somebody has a bearing of being an older person. When you see, and you know what it is? It's that the younger, there is sort of a bell curve with women, in my experience. Really young girls, lots of makeup, just sort of slathered, troweled on. And then when you get to be, you know, in your 20s or whatever, and you kind of figure out what you're doing, then you just apply enough makeup for the day. Just enough as you need. And then when you become an old woman again, then the troweling comes back.
You know, it seems like a lot of women get stuck in a makeup face at one age, and that's what they wear for the rest of their lives.
They never change
it. They're going to wear the baby blue eyeshadow, you know, and hot pink rouge.
You just figure it'll come back.
Yeah.
You just figure that at some point society.
But that's it. That's their face, and they never change it to match anything else about them.
That's why I have opted not to be that guy.
That's why you don't wear makeup.
Well, it's like when Sarah criticizes my clothing. When Sarah says like,
Can I see the hair?
Nah, you don't want to see it.
I thought that was just covering for your stint at Hazelden kicking Adderall.
No, I would have to. I'd have to find some Adderall first. I will be meeting Aaron Sorkin in February, maybe.
You can stop.
I will say this.
Are you going to be Aaron Sorkin's mule?
I there's something there. There's something about...
You're going to be swallowing some condoms?
Okay. I believe we're now approaching over the line. I was going to go a whole different way with him. Am I going to be his mule? Will you have a horn in the middle of your forehead? No.
You're going to be his unicorn?
Really quickly, I do have to say that I heard, and I swore that I wouldn't identify who this was, but someone who was at Sarah's birthday party, told me a great Adderall story. And I'll just say it was a man, because that becomes very obvious in the story. And he swore me to secrecy about his name. This guy told me, he's like, because he'd heard me talking about Adderall, and he's like, dude, I have the best Adderall story. And by best, it wasn't really best, it was just sort of funny or interesting. But he's talking about how he met some girl, and they met, in a bar. They met online, but they didn't really know each other. And so they kind of met, and they're out and they're drinking. One thing leads to another, and it's like, do you want to get a room? And so, of course, you're in Southeast. Where do you go? That Motel 6, right there by the Safari, right there in, like, 36th and Powell, the House of Love.
The one that the price can change nightly.
And the cops are seen leaving. I mean, like, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 tonight, you see the squad cars rolling out of there. And at any given time, there's, like, a 1 in 2 chance there's going to be yellow police tape around one of the rooms. I mean, Motel 6 is a fine company. I'm just saying that particular establishment has had its ups and downs. So she's like, well, why don't we get a room? And he's like, well, I know what that means. All right. And so he springs. So they get the room at the Motel 6. They get into the room. She busts out a full brand new bottle of Adderall. I mean, like 60 of them, like 60 tablets. And by his, now I have no reason to doubt this guy. I would think this would kill you. By his estimation, they ground up and snorted the entire bottle over the course of a night. I don't know if it was 60, but he said it was a brand new bottle. I don't know how many that is. He was guessing, but he said it was a brand new bottle of Adderall that she got. But he said that they ground up and over the course of the night snorted the entire bottle.
No embellishment.
Well, maybe. But I know that it's a true story, and here's how I know it's a true story. Because you would not make up the ending to this story, which is that, obviously, you're in the hotel room, you're liquored up, you snort a bunch of drugs, and then, hey, let's have a great time, and then, hold on, just give me a second, let me focus. Wait, no, damn. And he said that they went into the hotel room at like 11 o'clock at night, they left the hotel room like the next morning at like 10 a.m., at no point during that time period was he able to achieve or sustain. So he did give that as a warning. He's like, you know, if you're going to be doing a lot of housework, it's a fantastic drug. If you'd like to have any kind of sex involving your lower regions, he said, that's a thing you want to stay away from. So they go, word to the wise, kids, don't abuse drugs for any number of reasons. Also because your temple, you know, temple of Jesus and so forth. But anyway, so there you go. So I know that we all appreciate good Adderall stories here. Moving on. Shall we break here?
Yes, let's do that.
Let's break, kids. Back after this with Jen Lane. We'll talk about the Barfly Awards, which just happened.
The Barfly.
Out of which I was cruelly shut out from any and all victories, by the way. Not that I'm bitter about it or holding any kind of a grudge against the people who showed up and voted. Stay there. The Rick Emerson Show continues next. Like us at 3. He'll be live at Barracuda Friday, November 3rd. We'll talk more about it as we get closer to it. You stay there. About Britney Spears, she had the two kids, and she's lost all that weight, but yeah, she's got the SAG going on, so, and that's her livelihood right there, so, no, I have no problem with that at all.
Yeah.
Boob jobs for everyone. we're here with Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. All right, so I feel bad, because I got back into town Sunday, and I was all burnt out driving, probably not a good idea at that time, but I was, it's still, and all lagged out from the Valium and the whatever, and Valium is one of those things, it's like Ativan or thing, where it's like, I kind of forget exactly how much I love it until I take it, and then it's like having my whole soul wrapped in a fluffy towel right out of the dryer.
I hate stuff like that.
I it's weird that, like, I simultaneously don't like being medicated, at the same time you just can't deny the greatness of the sensation, so.
I always like, feel like I have to fight through it, I can't relax into it, and then, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, walking through, you know, cotton candy or something.
The key to that is to be in a hotel room with nothing that you have to do and no obligations, and just to lock the door and stare at a wall.
Well, even
like
in that,
hours.
I don't know. There's something about it. It's like I always have a weird reaction to stuff. Like that. I don't like pharmaceuticals in general.
You and I have got a theme lately on the show. We really sound like a.
Why
days
you talk
of,
about other stuff?
This is like a whole Days of Wine and Roses thing with you and I.
The doll.
I believe you and I are joint enablers. I think. Well, let's talk about the Barfly Awards, because I got back Sunday.
Yeah, speaking of enabling.
I wanted to go because I got, not about the glory of me, but I know I got nominated for something.
Yeah, so Sarah.
And what did Sarah get nominated
for? You guys were both in the same category, most likely to be famous.
And so, now can I, Who else was nominated? I don't
know.
In
that category, also Enrique and Jen Folker of Dahlia, and Jen Folker won.
Really? Okay. So.
And Enrique's in Soraya. He's a, what do you call it, a throat singer?
A throat singer? As opposed to...
It's a... specialized kind of
like an
thing.
Eastern,
yeah.
Kind of like a, like,
yeah,
ah.
Yeah. It's very cool.
I'm sorry, that was my attempt.
Yeah,
is
that
where he has a horn in the middle of his horn? you do this and you do it every year. And
yeah,
it's
we do it every year, and this is our second year doing it at the Rialto, and we did it on Sunday night. It was a blast. It was a great party.
Storm won last
time.
Year, didn't she?
Yes, she did. She won. I believe hardest working man or woman in show business last year.
So this isn't like the best new artist curse where you win this and then your career just goes to hell.
No. We pretty threw it well, and then yeah, most likely to be famous last year. Miss Mona's superhero, and since then she's had shows in L.A. and Boston and New York. So she's on her way.
Right on.
She's the duct tape artiste.
Fantastic. Man, that's a thing I wish I had the patent on. Duct tape. Just think of the money we'd be rolling into that. So this is and then you are. And I know I ask you every time you come in because it seems like I can never remember how to change it, but I know that when you are back in full swing with the magazine.
Which is coming. I'm so sick of saying, I'm such a broken record to myself, but it just,
did you need me to work somebody over?
Another.
Do you need me to go like...
Basically, we get totally screwed over by our fantastic new partners.
They're
completely out of the picture, and we've had to rebuild from scratch, because they hacked it to pieces, basically, and it's been a wreck getting the print edition back in shape. We're about a week away from getting it to press, and then it'll be out, and then it'll be good to go.
Well, let me know if you need somebody handled.
Thank you very much.
You're people
Thank
who know
you.
People. No, we can, we can get things. We can get things taken care of. In the meantime, you got like
you need a toilet paper somebody's house for me.
Yes. Yeah.
Stick a banana in somebody's tailpipe.
A Wenatchee banana. Do you know about the Wenatchee banana?
I don't.
Okay.
Is that
I knew you were going. No. Well, yes, but
if
let's
I
not
said
say
something
what it's
with
like.
A blank Carl,
like a Speedy Rodriguez, or no? What did I say? Speedy Gonzalez.
Speedy Gonzalez.
It's a Speedy Gonzalez. That's what we started calling. Whatever. It's a Speedy Gonzalez. Yes, no, a Wenatchee banana. And we had another one too. There was a Wenatchee banana and something else. We had another one came up today. Let's see. Ken, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, how you doing today?
What's up, brother?
Hey, just wanted to commend you on the fine contest you've had over the past couple of days.
Yeah, thanks.
Really
I'm picking up
the bar there.
Yeah, I'm picking up on your sarcasm. Thank you, sir.
I did have a suggestion for the Al Gore seminar.
Right. Yeah, because we're so bad at giving stuff away. We just have no... Our contesting skills are crap.
Well, I don't need anything for it. But I would like to throw out the suggestion of Ixnay on the air spray.
Oh, is a better name for Al Gore's presentation?
Yes.
Ixnay on the air spray. Scotty, what is your... I'm sorry, Ken. Are you a delivery driver?
Yep.
Scotty is demanding that I play the delivery driver sound effect. All right.
Well, in some small part, I might make his day. So, if you want to, go ahead.
All right. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Scotty. Are you happy? Set to... All right, thank you, Ken. You call us anytime.
All right, thanks.
All right, there you go. Let's get one more today. Probably the final call for today. Colin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir. Colin.
Going once.
Going twice. All right, there you go. And that's Colin. All right. So what else is coming up in the world of Barfly?
Let's see. We just added a third bus for Halloween. It's a super historic additional Halloween magical mystery tour.
Now, is it like a paranormal thing? Is it like haunted places?
Well, we do. We go to haunted bars. We do it on Saturday, October 28th, 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. Tickets on sale, barfilmmate.com. It's costumes mandatory, multiple costume contests throughout the night. We go to haunted bars, and it's ooky spooky, full of thrills and shells.
And so tickets are available, and there's three of them?
There's three buses going out this year.
Now, are they all going to the same places, or is it like...
No, I'm going to stagger the routes. We're all going to start at the same place and probably end at the same place. But in between, it's too cruel to put... I mean, we're already bringing 60 people at a time on one bus.
Right.
To a given bar, and that's tough for even the best bartenders to handle at once, because they're only there for like half an hour,
Totally.
So if we did more than that, it would just be ridiculous, and nobody would get a drink. So we stagger them. They'll probably end up overlapping, you know, almost here and there, but...
Well, you know, there's so many places. Like, I've never for one been to the Shanghai tunnels. There's all of these places in Portland that are kind of spooky, and where Decline always talks about this stuff. There's so many things I haven't seen. So I might actually do that. Scotty, what am I supposed to be doing? Oh, am I supposed to be taking the room temperature now? All right. I'm now supposed to be taking the temperature of the room. Let's see here.
What is that?
Pointing at me.
This is
the temperature of the room.
It's 67? Really?
You weren't supposed to say it on the radio, right?
Weren't we taking guesses all day long? Isn't that the thing we were doing?
I assume that people were going to call in. Okay.
And there you go.
You blew another contest.
Why is that a contest? Anyway, we
remember, as people were guessing, as they called in for other things today.
67.6 degrees in here.
That's the deal, is as they were calling in for other things today,
they were giving Scotty their guesses.
Yeah, our heat pump was broken, and it was almost 80 degrees in here.
Yeah, Keith wins, because the guy had called earlier and guessed 67. So there you go. Because the guess was, what was the temperature in the room going to be at the end of the show? This, however, is fantastic. You can point this at some, for you, instance, you, Jen Lane, your face is currently, this is fantastic. It's a really weird sensation to be able to find out what somebody's body is. Your face is 88 degrees on the outside.
Wow.
So there you go. Which I think makes, I don't really know what Jen Lane's internal temperature
is. That's a little creepy on the outside.
Yes. Yes.
All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
A good friend, Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
How are you doing, buddy?
You know, what's up?
You know, real quick, that 40-second delay killed me. I missed, in between being on hold and, or, you know, calling, listening on radio and then being on hold, I missed the whole Jen Lane about the tour coming up.
Yes.
So, can I get information?
There are details.
At barflymag.com. Thank you very much for asking, Chris.
No problem.
And mandatory costumes, Chris.
Yes.
What was that?
Costumes are mandatory.
Well, you think back over the last few years, I've never had
No, he's never let us down.
Okay, well, you didn't get a top five today.
No, that is true. And Scotty created one, and then it all became obviated by the fact that the heat pump began working. So.
And I had a couple phone calls, but did Ed McCarthy come on?
He did, actually. Okay. Ed McCarthy joined us. He joined us, talked about Wesley Snipes. By the way, for those who are interested in knowing such things, there apparently is an adult film star named Wesley Pipes. That was pointed out to me by many, many people today.
You didn't get anything from the gossip pile.
No, that really is true. The only thing we really got is the Britney Spears thing. That's all we got. That didn't really count.
Yeah, the Britney watch. So.
Yeah, no, we really failed. We failed. I never did get this thing. I'll just tell you this, that apparently Bill Clinton is, Ashton Kutcher is furious because Bill Clinton and Demi Moore are rumored to be, riding the hobby horse together. Bill Clinton
was...
It's a rumor. I'm not saying it's true.
She's a little old for him, isn't she?
Well, you know...
For Ashton Kutcher?
Yeah. How old is she now? How old is Demi Moore now?
She's like 40-something.
41?
Late
40s.
I
like 44.
I get the feeling that Bill Clinton is a pretty... he's pretty gracious and elastic in terms of what women he finds acceptable. I get a feeling he's sort of a Gene Simmons.
You don't think Demi Moore is attractive?
I do. I'm just saying... No, Chris's comment, though, is that Demi Moore is a little old for Bill Clinton.
If
you're the most powerful man, that you go for like some hot 21-year-old or whatever. And I'm saying, I think with Bill Clinton, he doesn't really care.
If they got a pulse.
Yeah, that's really kind of what it is. It's like if you read that Gene Simmons autobiography, he tells this one story, and he's like, so anyway, I was being driven out for tacos one night or whatever. He's like being taken out to get food. They send some limo driver to pick up, and the limo driver is like a 71-year-old woman. She's like some 71-year-old woman who, as he described it, was wrinkly and overweight. And he's like, but she seemed interested, and I had a few minutes to kill while waiting for my order, so what are you going to do? And he just, is totally like, and that's the, which is kind of nice in a weird way. It's sort of, it's kind of not.
I don't believe any of that crap. He is so disgustingly ugly, and his personality is...
I'm just saying it's kind of non-judgmental in a funny way. You know what I mean? But
he'll pork the old and the obese.
Charity he is.
Why should only the very young and attractive get the fun? That's all.
Why should Gene Simmons get to have fun with anybody?
Because he's the god of thunder, Jen Lane. I think you know the answer to that. All right. Marymount Chris, so there we go. So where does that bring us for today?
Add two, that'll put you at 55.
All right. Excellent.
And I also want to throw out something. I didn't mention it yesterday. Monday night, I actually went to Karaoke from Hell for the first time after Clyde's show. That was absolutely fantastic.
Well, I
love Carrie from Hell.
And there was, well, and the Monday was special too because Clive was there, and then he had the Film Fever guys were there too.
Yeah, that
radio.
Was a great show.
Aaron and Scott Daly were there as well. So now Clive, man, the karaoke from Hell is great, and the Ground Zero Lounge is great too, especially because with Clive, you never know. You never know which Clyde you're going to get, and sometimes it switches about halfway through. Clyde is very binary, where sometimes he'll be wacky and kooky, and then like he has a floor mic there, so guys who are sort of just there watching can come up and ask him questions. And you never know when some guy is going to ask the wrong question, and Clyde just flips into white-hot nuclear rage mode, which is great. I was there a couple weeks ago, and he was showing something about how the space shuttle was... It was being attacked by what appeared to be a succession of sea monkey-like objects. And Clyde was pointing out, if you can see here clearly that there are, you know, whatever, attacking it. And some guy got at the microphone and said, well, you know, I forget what the question was, but it was like some footage that Clyde had found on YouTube. And the guy said, like, if it's such a closely guarded secret, like, why would NASA put this footage on YouTube? And it was like, immediately you could see, like, urge to kill switch on in Clyde's head. So you never know how those nights are going to roll. So, yeah, no, it's good times. It's Dante's on Monday.
You know, and I got much love for the karaoke. I go in and do it on the karaoke machine. But, man, there's something about getting up there and rocking the Bon Jovi with a live band behind you that just kicks a major ass.
Okay, duly noted, sir. All right, thank you, my friend.
Talk to you guys tomorrow.
All right, there you go. Rick, let's see. This is a thing about... Rick, did you know that in extreme cases of hairy tongue, the hairs are actually of sufficient length to... Blood? Oh, God, this is links to a video where a doctor is examining someone with hair on their tongue, and a blast of compressed air actually results in the hair, quote, waving in the breeze.
You mean people can actually grow hair? It's not just a... The way it feels when you have a hangover.
Would you like to see? Would you like for the final?
I don't know.
Really, just as a final
I'm not
moment here.
Stuff like
just no, it's fine. It's fine. It's all good. Let's. There you go.
Oh my God.
There you go. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you. We'll be here all week. There you go. And good night. Barflymag.com. She's Jen Lane, and she's horrified by that picture. You can see it at Rick Emerson.
It's not actually hair, Jen. It's black fungus.
There seems to be some debate about that. But
oh, God.
Is it hairy fungus?
Is there any other kind, Sarah? Aren't you glad it came in? All right, there you go, kid.
Thanks for having me.
All right, anytime. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Lisa Goddard, Gary Baumgarten, Emma McCarthy, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. You can find out more at barflymag.com, Halloween buses, all that stuff coming up. Barflymag.com. Tomorrow we talk to Peter Carlin, et cetera, et cetera. Rick Emerson Show, produced today, and every day the lovers and talented Sarah Killen for AM970 Solid State Radio, Tim Riley's news director, Scotty J at the PA, and all that. Like us next. See y'all tomorrow. Bye. Ha, 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 ha.